Well, it's really good to be here this morning at Stutzmansville. I want to first thank all of you for your prayers during the last couple of years. I especially want to thank Dennis and Frank, along with Sue, because they walked with me during some very, very trying times. You guys are just simply the best. In March of 2024, just after doing a bike trip down in North Carolina, I became incredibly fatigued. And by the time we hit Thanksgiving of that year, I wasn't able to do much of anything, which is just so not me. And in 2025, after going through like 10 different specialists, who all told me, Mark, you're in great shape, my primary care doctor said to me, if it were me or my family member, I would tell them to go to Mayo. And Margo told me the same thing. And she said, dial it up, Mark. So last September, I did just that. They determined that I had either chronic fatigue syndrome or long COVID, go figure. Both have the same symptoms, and they have the same treatment plan, which I began last October. And slowly but surely, I started to regain my strength. While I have a ways to go, I'm just so thankful. Thank you. Thank you. So 2 weeks ago, I was able to ride with my bike group again. Hadn't done it for 2 years. We rode from Grand Haven to South Haven, then across to Port Huron, and then we finished by crossing the new Gordie Howe Bridge in Detroit. Well, my primary care doctor, after observing my recovery and knowing that many people who have this diagnosis never really recover, and many are homebound, he said, well, go figure. Medicine is not an exact science. Just what you want to hear your doctor say. Go figure. But go figure, I think, is true for so many things in our life. We get caught up in this loop of trying to figure everything out, and we realize sometimes that some things are just beyond our capacity to know. So that's the title of the message this morning. I guess you've figured it out by now, is Go Figure. It's not about a medical diagnosis or treatment or figuring out quantum physics. Rather, it's about a relationship with God. I have three texts that I'd like to share with you this morning that have to do with trying to wrap our minds around what we know about God and what we don't. First, from Psalm 33, 6 through 11. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear or respect the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded it and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plan of the Lord stands firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. And from Psalm 19, 1 through 4, we read, the heavens declare his glory. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard for them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. And then this from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 12 and 13. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three things, but the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that through these words from Scripture, and through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, that you might speak to us today. Challenge us to grow in our faith in ways we simply cannot explain or even understand. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, in 1992, a movie came out called Leap of Faith, starring Steve Martin and Deborah Winger. How many of you remember that or have seen it? If you haven't, I encourage you to do it. You might want to rent it because, and I'm going to kind of spoil it anyway for you, so hey. Well, in the movie, Steve Martin plays the part of Jonas Nightingale, a traveling evangelist, a faith healer, who's nothing more than a con man. And Deborah Winger plays the part of his manager, and together with their road crew, they come into a little Kansas town, kind of like a circus with a big tent and all. They come in roaring in on a bus. Well, one day their bus breaks down in Rushwater, Kansas, a small rural town suffering from a long drought. And learning that they're going to have to wait 4 days for replacement parts for their bus, Jonas decides to hold a revival to pay for the repairs. And Jonas and his staff use all sorts of cons to make it appear as if Jonas has this divine knowledge. He uses repeated diversions whenever they ask about when the drought will end. But the townspeople find Jonas' show so entertaining and inspiring, they eagerly donate money hand over fist. Well, Nightingale attempts to begin a relationship with Marva, who's a waitress in a local diner, whose brother, Boyd, walks with crutches following a severe auto accident. She explains that the doctors couldn't find anything physically wrong with him and that his ailment is all in his mind. But Boyd becomes convinced that Jonas can help him walk again. And during their revival meeting, Boyd walks up to the crucifix on the stage and touches the feet of Jesus, who's hanging on the cross. And he drops his crutches and he begins to walk unassisted. And the awed crowd just sweeps the stage. It blows Nightingale's mind. He clearly knows he's a fraud. Yet this kid is somehow miraculously healed. He realizes that Boyd walking again could only be a real miracle. And he begins to understand that Boyd's miracle and the faith that enabled it are real after all. It blows his mind. He packs his bag. He just can't deal with this. He departs under the cover of darkness, leaving behind the entire road show, hitches a ride on with a truck driver bound for Pensacola, Florida. When the driver asks if he's in trouble, Jonas replies, "For the first time in my life, I am not." The drought threatening Rushwater's crop harvest comes to a dramatic end with a miraculous downpour. And Jonas laughs as he realizes the truth. And he rides off into the evening storm, hanging out the truck window and loudly thanking Jesus for the rain. Go figure. You know, over the years, I've gotten to know more than my share of biblical scholars. These are brilliant people who know so much more than I do about biblical languages or archaeology or history or cultural context. And while I've learned a lot from them, but I realize in the end, you think any of them truly have God and God's ways all figured out, even though they've studied all their lives? I've sat in faculty meetings where scholars from places like Oxford and Duke and Princeton argue about the smallest little details of a text. And I'm like, really? Who knows? Because so often we get stuck in the minutiae and lose the bigger picture. that God and God's ways are far bigger than we can ever wrap our minds around. For we walk by faith, not by sight, as the Apostle Paul puts it. Throughout the ages, there have been many religious nutcases who have everything figured out and will gladly tell you. Take, for example, the date for Christ's return or the end of the world. In 1914 and 1975, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, you know, Jehovah's Witness, famously pointed to 1914 as the start of Christ's inevitable presence, and then later suggested 1975 as the end of all human history. Guess I missed that. A false prophet by the name of Jones Manana in India predicted Christ would return on July 25th, 1954. In 1988, former NASA engineer Edgar Weisenhardt published 88 reasons why the rapture would be in 1988. And he sold millions of copies of books setting that precise date in September of 1988. 1994 and 2011, Harold Camping from Family Life Radio initially predicted the rapture would occur on September 6th, 1994. He later gained massive notoriety predicting Judgment Day would arrive on May 21st, 2011. The final end coming October 2011. I actually sat out on my deck with my sunglasses and waited. I kind of did. I was just like, really? Okay. No. Anyway, we won't go there. You know, people have literally sold their possessions and sat on their rooftops waiting and waiting and waiting. I think it's just human nature that we want to figure everything out. We want information because information gives us a sense of control. If we can map it out and we can calculate it and we can predict it, we don't have to face the vulnerability of simply trusting God. But look back at our scripture reading from Psalm 33. The psalmist writes, the word of the Lord of the heavens were made, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into a jar. He puts the deep into storehouses. Think about that imagery for a minute. God doesn't struggle to manage creation. He doesn't have a giant cosmic whiteboard where he frantically is trying to figure out everything out, the math of the universe. He breathes and the stars exist. He takes the massive, terrifying depths of the ocean, mysteries of human beings still can't fully explore, and he neatly tucks them away like he's putting them in a leftover jar. And then the psalmist drops the hammer on our human pride. The Lord foils the plans of the nations and thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand forever. We make our 5-year plans. Nations build massive strategies. We construct our neat little theological boxes to keep God safe, manageable, and predictable. And God gently blows them over, rendering us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. Psalm 19 reminds us that creation is speaking this truth constantly. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth. You know, one of my favorite things to do is late at night, walk out on the beach on a clear night and just look up. When you stand under the dark sky and look up at the millions of stars, you don't look up there and think, ah, yes, I've completely figured everything out. No, you feel small. I mean, what we can see is just a tiny bit of the created order. And when you look at the stars, I don't understand how anybody can't feel this overwhelming sense of wonder and awe they can't explain. The sky is preaching, if you will, a silent sermon every single night. And the message is simple. God is vast, and you are not. So where does that leave us? If God is too big to figure out, and if our minds are too small to comprehend his blueprints, if our mind is just too small to comprehend his blueprints, do we just throw our hands up in despair? That's where Paul's letter to the Corinthians is an anchor for us. For now we will see in a mirror dimly, but then I shall see face to face. For now I know in tiny, 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 tiny part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. You see, ancient mirrors weren't like our modern glass mirrors of today. They were made of pounded and polished brass. The reflection was dark, wavy, and incomplete. And Paul is telling us, look, your theology, your understanding, your ability to figure out why bad things happen, how miraculous healings occur, is just a dim reflection in a mirror. We only know in part. But notice what remains when our ability to figure out hits a wall. So go now in faith and love, abide in these three things. Faith, hope, and love. Abide in these three things. But the greatest is love. You don't have to have God all figured out to trust God. That's what faith is. You don't need to know exactly how the story ends to believe it will be good. That's what hope is. And most importantly, you don't need to comprehend the infinite mechanics of the cosmos to experience the intimate presence of the Creator. That's what love is. Jonas Nightingale spent his whole life trying to engineer faith and to manipulate it and to control it for a paycheck. But when a little boy dropped his crutches and walked, Jonas ran out of explanations. He couldn't figure it out. His boxes all broke. And in that moment of running out of answers, he found his freedom. He hitched a ride in a downpour, hanging out a truck window, laughing and thanking Jesus. He stopped trying to manage the miracle and just started enjoying the rain. You know, medicine isn't an exact science, and walking with the Almighty God is certainly not a predictable formula. If you're sitting here today exhausted from trying to figure out your life, figure out your health, figure out your family, or figure out why God is doing what God is doing, I want to give you permission to just stop it. Just stop. Let go of this illusion of control. Embrace the partial knowledge. Step out of the loop of endlessly worrying and intellectual maneuvering. Look at the heavens that declare God's glory. Look at the cross that declares God's love. And when the blessings catch you by surprise and when the strength returns in ways you can't explain, just look to the heavens and say, go figure. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to give it up. This constant need to figure you out and explain all your ways. Give us the joy of faith that comes from our hope in you. Help us to love ourselves, to love others, to love you, and resist our urge to to judge. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.